Hello, welcome to the Echo and Encourage podcast. I'm your host, Hannah Abbott, and I'm so happy to have Patricia Diaz with us today. Patty is a business owner of a Christ-centered dance studio and founder and president of a nonprofit organization in which both organizations are meant to share God's love through the work that she does. She is the dance studio owner where my friends go and dance. And Emelian Gregor, he was on an episode, and you can check that out. He is one of the people that goes and dances where Patty is. I'm going to go for the first time tonight.
Yay!
And I'm so excited. And thank you so much, Patty, for being here today.
It's my pleasure, Hannah. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to share about what I do and hopefully inspire and empower others. And I'm excited to just go with the flow of what Hannah has in store for us today.
Yay, this is awesome. So, Patty, will you please share with us a bit about how you got into dance?
Yes, absolutely. I started dancing at the age of 3 years old. I started with ballet and tap, and soon to find out that I wanted to quit. And I go down the stairs and I quit, Mom, I don't want to dance anymore. But thankfully, my mom kept me in dance for folklorico, so that's the Mexican traditional dancing. And I continued doing that my whole life, pretty much. At the age of 11, we actually moved to the Central Valley. So I was born and raised in the Bay Area. We moved to the Central Valley at the age of 11, and I started to engage with like church youth groups. And because of that engagement, I had some pastors and youth coordinators reach out to me saying, "Hey, I know that you're doing folklorico dancing. Would you be interested in hosting like a children's group while the parents are in church service or they're in their adult groups? We need to entertain these children somehow. So would you be interested in doing that?" And I said, "Yeah, I would love to." So this is at the age of 14 that I had this first question come to me. And so I asked them if they wanted to build this dance group, and we did. And so with that, I continued to dance. But how did I become a dance studio owner? People are always interested in that question, more so than just being the dancer, right? As I continued to service these children, and the community started to get to know that this is what I did, and I was just doing it for fun, volunteer, right? I just loved dancing, so I was doing it for fun. But at 14, coming 15, 16, people started to ask, "Well, can you guys perform? Can you guys go out and just perform at these events?" And so I started having our church students come together to put on productions, put on performances for community. And I got very intrigued. And I think at a young age, I fell in love with leadership. So I said, well, what am I supposed to do? Why am I doing this? And I felt more intrigued to just learn more about dancing. So at the age of 16 is when I first inquired to a dance studio that I wanted to take dance classes. I had never taken formal dance training until the age of 16. All the training I did was recreational training in like community organization groups. It was never an actual like dance studio setting or anything. So I felt intrigued to learn more because I was getting asked to put on different types of performances and I wanted to learn more. So at 16, I go to a dance studio and I ask them, "Hey, I want to be a ballerina. I want to learn how to do ballet, and I want to do lyrical, and I want to do contemporary, and I want to learn how to do hip hop." And the initial thing was, "Well, you're a little too old to dance now. You're a little too old to learn this style of dance. I'm not sure that we're going to be able to fulfill this, but if you want, you know, we'll get you on some private lessons and we'll go forth." And I said, "Well, I really do. I feel it in my heart that there's something that's going to happen with dance in my life." So long story short, I get that training going. Then I'm intrigued to be a part of a dance studio that is Christ-centered. And that studio I started dancing at, it was all ballet, and I wanted to learn point. And so I started my point journey. I was on point, maybe training for like 3 months. And then the director was like, hey, do you want like a little mini solo for our upcoming recital? And I was super astonished about it. I was like, yes, I would love to showcase that I could at least get on demi point, right? Well, the night before showtime, this is dress rehearsal night. So fast forward, I'm probably 17, 18 years old now, and I've already actually now have an established job at the City of Hanford Rec Department teaching dance. And I've gained probably like 300 students from the course of 14 to 18. So I say, yes, I want this little mini solo. I want to show off what I've been learning, what I've been working hard for. But I go into stretching on dress rehearsal night, and I go in to take this big old leap, and I fall down and I hurt myself. And of course, I sprained my ankle. And that's because the floor wasn't laid out yet completely. I didn't know that. But I went in, I was like, oh, so excited. So here goes my first encounter of why is this happening to me? And I sprain my ankle, I'm crying, I'm devastated. My little solo moment isn't gonna happen. I'm not gonna be able to do the show. And also 2 weeks later, we did go to Mississippi for a summer intensive at Ballet Magnificat, which is also a Christian faith-based ballet company. And we had raised all year long money to get to this summer intensive. So why is this super important to my life is because when I go to the doctors, they tell me, you're never going to dance again. You should have broke your foot so we could give you surgery because the intensity of the sprain is not repairable. And I said, what? No, like that's impossible, you know? So this is what I was told. And I was devastated. My foot was super swollen, very purple, very swollen. But I still went to Mississippi anyways. I still did the summer intensive. And that summer, which was the summer of 2007, eight, I felt called. It was the night before the entire intensive was going to be over that, they said, okay, this is how we're going to end the intensive. We're going to have a praise and worship night. And if you feel the spirit, just get up and dance. We're going to read scripture. We're going to have praise music. And if you feel the spirit, just get up and dance. Well, mind you, 2 weeks of dancing on a swollen, sprained foot, my foot was done for. But I got up, I started dancing, and I just felt the Holy Spirit so intense. And that's when all of a sudden I feel I'm looking to the corner, to my right corner, and I stop and I hear the voice of God. And I hear God saying, you are going to use dance as a tool to serve me and bring others closer to me. And that summer changed my life. And that's the summer I came back home telling my parents, I want to open a dance studio. I want to open a dance studio. I want to do a dance studio to glorify God. I want to teach others about Jesus. And I always now say in a nutshell, dance and Jesus changed my life forever because I don't know what direction of my life, what it would go if I didn't have this encounter, if I wouldn't have sprained my ankle, if I wouldn't have had all those obstacles telling me no, no, no. And that summer is the summer I felt like God was calling me to use dance to serve him and to turn it into a ministry. So that's how I got into what I'm doing now.
That is incredible, Patty. There's so much to unpack there, and I forgot my box of tissues. I get teary-eyed anytime I hear Holy Spirit stories. And I got goosebumps too. I'm just really touched by your faith, your openness to listening to Jesus, and that you did that. So how did you move forward through the pain? Were you healed of that injury?
The injury healed. It took like 6 more months to finally heal. But in that, you know, in that process, I was setting up, what did it look like to open a dance studio, all the logistics side of that, figuring out through lots of prayer, what was I going to name the studio? I remember one night I just was reading the Bible night, and I just was like, Lord, what do you want me to name the studio? You know, I don't have a catchy name. I don't know what to call it. And I was just reading and I felt called to this moment. And all of a sudden, after just reading and reading the Bible, like I think I read the Bible that night, probably like 2 or 3 hours, like just reading, journaling, reading, meditating, you know, and finally it came to me. Praise, Arts, Talent, Youth. So PATTY actually stands for that. PATTY Studio is the name of the dance studio in Hanford. And it actually stands for praise, because we will praise Jesus with our dance. Arts, because it's an artistic studio where we want to be storytellers for Christ through our messaging. Talent, because we do believe that we will either gain a lot of talented dancers or make talented dancers, right?
Yeah.
And then youth, because our heart is to serve the youth, because I'm a strong believer that what we do for our youth today is what our world will look like for tomorrow. And for me, that's why I chose to do a Christ-centered environment, because what our kids listen to, they're sponges, you know, they're gonna soak everything. And so for me, it was really important that I wanted to be like a seed for these children. And for me, it was more because the kids I was working with when I was volunteering my time at the churches and stuff in the community centers, they were all like at-risk kids. Mm-hmm. Most of them were at-risk kids coming from different dynamic families, a lot of like low-income families. So the struggles those families have in comparison to others, I know we all have struggles, but at-risk children, I feel like, are prone to more, right? Mm-hmm. So I really wanted to make a difference in the youth and really work with families that I knew, like, they needed that little seed more, you know?
Yes.
And to me, that's kind of like, that's where my heart is at, is to help make a difference, but to help the youth, because they are the world for tomorrow, and teach them about Jesus and share my story so that they can see that, like, you know, things are possible with Jesus.
That is so beautiful, PATTY. I love how you said that you took this to God in prayer about the name of your studio. I've heard from some of my mentors that within business and ministry, even like asking Holy Spirit, like, what colors would represent my ministry or what name? And he gave you that name. That is so unique. And it embodies everything that you're doing in dance and in ministry. And you are so resilient. Sometimes when we're told no by people, so you were told no with the ballet while you were older than, I guess, most people when they start, but still, yeah. That was really a negative thing for them to say. And you went forward out on faith and you were bold and you listened to what the Holy Spirit was calling you to do with that. That was a big form of resilience. And I think that that probably strengthened your resilience muscles for when you had that injury and you were told that you couldn't dance. I have a similar experience, but not completely. I was working out a little bit before I got married. I got married in August 2022, and I got into dance with my first dance teacher, Katia Vaz, in LA. She was choreographing a bachata and salsa first dance.
Nice.
And so I would go and practice there, and I was working out before the wedding, doing all of these different things with weights, and I felt something in the back of my knee pop. And then there was bruising, and I went to urgent care because it looked pretty bad and it just felt a little different. And the doctor said, you won't be able to dance for your wedding and you won't be able to fly because you could have like something happen.
Oh,
and
gosh.
All of these negative things. And it like really hurt my heart and I cried because I loved the dance and I was so excited to express myself on the wedding day and then to fly to Portugal for the honeymoon. And through that, I had people tell me, you know, give this to Jesus. Go out on faith that he's going to heal you for this dance and that you'll be okay. And I prayerfully talked to him about it. And then I just started dancing and
praise God.
The bruising went away. There was nothing medically wrong. I got a second opinion and they wrapped it and everything healed. But the first opinion was so much like mean or like really like negative without really like doing a ton of maybe like research or like faith talk. And so part of my story now, a big part, is that I'm almost divorced. And so I've had to walk through that, but I've kept dance in my life and continued to grow that journey and continue to keep stories like that where faith shined through so that, you know, there could still be that expression of joy.
Yes.
So yay for having faith.
Yes.
With injuries.
Yes.
If the Holy Spirit says it's okay, he's the ultimate physician. But
that's
of course,
right.
we appreciate and love all medical doctors.
Yes.
It's just sometimes the Holy Spirit has insight that and healing that people don't see.
Yeah, and your faith is just so strong that that also plays a factor. You know, there's been, I've had other injuries throughout my lifetime and recent things that have happened, but your faith has to be so set on Jesus. It has to be so strong to know that, you know, with God, all things are possible. And that verse in the Bible has been my all-time, like, I keep that really close to my heart because there's been so many different incidents I've gone through, and those are the things that build our character, that build our faith, that build who we are meant to be, that build the purpose that we're walking in life for, that continue, you know, our growth in what we're called to do, and that just sits really close to my heart. You know, all things are possible with Jesus Christ. So,
yes.
Yeah.
They are. Yes, amen. When did you start Patty's Studio, Praise Arts Dance, Praise Arts Talent Youth?
Yes. So I established Patty's Studio in 2009 and been going strong with lots of trials and tribulations. But I say going strong even with them because what keeps me going is knowing that this is me listening to the calling God put in my heart, right? And the purpose I feel is what I'm supposed to be doing in this earth. So with all the different trials and tribulations we've had and continue to have this day, it's when you really believe the calling from God, you keep pushing through because you know that he will provide and he will bless you and you'll see, you know, a way out of whatever situation you're in. Something that I want to share that resonated so deep in my heart yesterday with the Holy Vigil Mass, the priest was sharing that, you know, Jesus was crucified and he went through his own cross and his own grieving and his own death, right? And then resurrected. And because of resurrection, we too know that we have the promise of joy, of a new life, a new, you know, beginning, you can say. And so that's how I see. It was just so impactful to hear how the priest put it because he said, and every one of us go through that. Every one of us go through some sort of death, some sort of grieving. It could be the death of a financial instability. It could be the death of a relationship, the death of a marriage, the death of, you know, a loved one, the death of, you know, any situation that we're going through, it becomes a grieving situation. It becomes like death. But if Jesus was able to resurrect and save us and bring us everlasting life, then we could come out of those situations, death, grieving moments, and know because of God's promise that we we are gonna see joy. We are gonna see something out of it. And so no matter like what trial and tribulation you're going through, for me, 15 years later with the opening of the studio, I still believe in God's promise and know like these might be moments of grieving or death, but I know because God resurrected, Jesus resurrected. So we know we can also rise through whatever we're going through, you know?
Yes. Amen. That is powerful. I love all that you shared with that. And right now we're filming, it's the day after Easter. And so all of these parallels are so beautiful. Yes. The death and then the resurrection it makes all the difference. It's reminding me of that Bible verse that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning.
Mm.
And I know that can also, that sometimes our weeping can be longer, but don't give up before the miracle happens.
Yeah.
Because it will happen. That other Bible verse where, you know, the story of Jesus doing his first miracle, turning the water into wine, and the guest said, wow, everyone serves the choice wine first, but you saved the best wine for last.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I think of Jesus, I think that he's always got the best coming.
Yeah.
And then when we're all in heaven, that's going to be the best party ever.
Yes.
And then this side of heaven, then there's walking through these moments. So what's your advice to someone who's currently walking through that grief? Whether it's a hardship in business or relationships, what would you say to them?
Yeah, so again, just kind of piggybacking on what I said is, no matter what grief you're going through, whatever situation you're going through is, don't give up. You know that God's promise is so present, and it's gonna happen. There's gonna be joy out of that, right? There's that song, what the devil meant for evil, God meant for victory, right? He's gonna turn it into something victorious. We just have to be faithful to the Lord. We have to continue walking in prayer. We have to continue walking in our faith. We have to continue believing that there's gonna be joy to come, you know, and that's gonna build your faith. That's gonna build your strength, your character. It's gonna teach us about endurance. It's gonna just get us even to build a way more stronger connection with Jesus and the relationship that one can build with Jesus through these tough moments. When you finally start to see the light, it's something just so beautiful, you know? And so now I just, okay, God, if this is the cross you want me to bear, then I accept it. I will take it. And I'm going to actually try to find the lesson you're teaching me instead of looking at the negative side of it.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That is very good and full of resilience.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seems like each moment that you practice that resilience and that beautiful perspective taking, having an internal perspective, it's strengthening you to walk through the next one with even more confidence and mm-hmm. boldness. And now you're talking about it and encouraging
yes.
other people.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say are the benefits for young people all the way up to the young at heart getting into dance?
Oh, yes. I love that question because, again, dance and Jesus changed my life. So I want to share the passion and joy of dance and Jesus combined. For me, it's really important to combine the two. But there's so many benefits. For the youth, I think that the biggest one is self-confidence. You get to build a self-confidence character. You start to love yourself more. You start to know that I can. Even the fact of sometimes we have to teach challenging combinations, challenging steps, but to be able to, after lots and lots of practice, achieve it, it makes a young person feel so accomplished, so confident in themselves. Leadership skills. We gain leadership skills. Sometimes we have to be the leaders in dance, whether it's dancing in a couple, you know, two people, or dancing in a group setting. There's moments in the choreography and the routines that you have to take on that leadership skill. You have to memorize the choreography, you know. So being leaders, having the confidence to perform in front of others, that builds like a public speaking, you know, type of skill. You are able to grow inwards, you know, you start to be able to self-express, you get to really dig deep into your emotions. And you don't have to, how do I say it? A young person can take advantage of the fact that you have to perform that emotion, right? And so performing that emotion to the audience may seem like, oh, they're just performing it. But for somebody that's young and maybe truly experiencing like actual issues within, they get to really, truly release that on stage and really be able to use dance as a form of therapy and use dance as a form of, I get to really, really express what's deep down inside of me, where to the audience, it may just look like I'm just performing, but for the actual performer, it's like a transformation of life, you know?
That's incredible. Wow. That's so healing for them to get to do that. And it's in such a safe and welcoming environment with you. Mm-hmm. What are the different styles that you're teaching?
We teach a little bit of everything. And I take pride in that because I always wanted to be the dance studio that is community oriented. And so for me, it was important to try to bring in the different cultural aspects of dance as well. So I share that because, for example, our hip hop class is very different from other studios. Our hip hop class is very street oriented, and I wanted to stay true to the roots of hip hop from the streets because that's the cultural of hip hop. The culture of hip hop is it's from where it originated, on the streets, you know, and we want to really bring the breakdance part of it, the popping, the lock, the crump, the waving, tutting, animation. So all the breaking moves, you know, your head spins, things like that. So that's one genre that we teach. Then we have contemporary, we have ballet, we have lyrical, we have tap, we have Zumba, we have our fitness program, so we want to encourage health and wellness. We have our salsa and bachata classes for our adults, which we're excited about class tonight. we have, what else do we have? We have our Mexican folklorico traditional dancing. We have our Latin-based class for our kids. So for our kids, we kind of break up the different genres of Latin dancing, which is merengue, salsa, cumbia, bachata. And we try to teach the basics of all that to our little ones. We have musical theater, which is one of our most popular classes because our musical theater plays all the main characters of our shows, and they get to really tell the storyline of what's about to happen in our big productions that we take a lot of pride in because, again, our studio is about being storytellers for Christ. So a little bit of everything.
Wow, this is wonderful. There's something for everyone to try.
And yes.
Once they get one down, I'm sure they'll want to try another style.
Mm-hmm.
When is your next upcoming production?
Yes, our next upcoming production, we hope all of you can come join us, is going to be June 15th. So this June in a few months, and it's going to be at the Hanford Fox Theater. The show starts at 6:00 and it is called The Rise of the Phoenix Through Signs and Wonders.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about this production. Everyone always asks, how do you get these stories? How do these stories come to you? Like, what do you just create like a random idea? And I actually have now come to realize, when I first started, it wasn't like that, but as the years evolved, I get these visions, right? I get these visions that through signs and wonders, actually. So that's why I named this particular show what I named it. I just get these like different signs that start to come into my mind. And then visions will come with it. And it's usually about 6 months to a year in advance, sometimes even way earlier, that I get these visions. And this is like God planting the seed of like what this next upcoming show is going to be about. Wow. And so that's how my shows come about and how I create my scripts and the stories and everything.
Oh, I've got goosebumps. Do you see my hair?
Oh, yeah.
I love hearing about the Holy Spirit. Wow. Okay, this is wonderful. Where do people get their tickets?
Yes. So people can get tickets either at our studio during our office hours, or you can visit our website, pattystudio.com. And we have on our events tab, you'll click on the events tab, click on the flyer, the Rise of the Phoenix, and you can purchase tickets online. And I also always say, you know, if you're not able to make it, you're always more than welcome to just purchase a ticket to support the mm-hmm. production as well as a donation.
Yes. So that is an incredible ministry, and you're sharing beautiful stories and things that are going to help these children and everybody involved to know Jesus better.
Yes. Whoa. And I want to add, Hannah, I was called a few years ago to also start the nonprofit. So I have two organizations. I have Patty's Studio, which I'm owner of the studio business, but I'm also founder and president of PS Traveling Dance Company. And so PS Traveling Dance Company is our sister company, as we like to say, because our adult classes, our adult performance teams perform at all of our productions. So they'll be performing at the Rise of the Phoenix. But the beauty of this nonprofit is that we want to take it to a traveling experience. So we actually want to travel to third world countries and minister the stories that we're putting out here locally and take them globally and give these, unserviced, underserved populations mm-hmm. an opportunity to experience dance and Jesus on a whole nother level. Wow. So if anybody wants to donate to our nonprofit, we're always looking for help too.
Yes, this is so unique and so creative. This is so beautiful. So do you have an event coming up with this, or is that still in the works for this group?
Yeah, so it's definitely still in the works. We've been kind of doing local things now. With the organization, we do charity work with it. So we'll either collect like coats or gently used clothes, canned goods, backpacks. We're always looking for school supplies. And so if anyone wants to donate any of those items, they can drop them off at the studio. But what we do with these items is once we've had a good collection, we'll go and pick a community that we want to service. Like recently we did a few in Hanford. So we'll put on a performance, we'll give them a free dance workshop to the kids of that community, and then we'll give them the supplies that we collected.
Wow. Mm-hmm. This is incredible. How do people become a part of this and contribute to dancing and serving?
Yeah, so if people want to be a part of our nonprofit, we have a few ways they can do it. They could be volunteers to help us volunteer at the events when we do these charity community events. They could be performers. So if you like to dance, you like to perform, and you love Jesus, you can come and be a part of the performance team. And then the final way to help is just donations. So just donating any of the items we talked about, or even monetary donations, so that in the future, God willing, we can take it to third world countries and really, you know, bring out God's love.
Yes. How do they find you to get involved with this or with your studio? Is it the same contact info or different?
So same contact info for both organizations. Our website for the PS Traveling Dance Company is still in construction mode. We're still putting that formally together. But they can go to Patty's studio and they can ask for information there, and we can get them in the right direction. And as far as supporting Patty's studio, Your support can be by either taking a class, dropping in and taking a class, enrolling into a dance class, paying the monthly tuition, or again, just purchasing tickets as a form of donation, or coming to our events, really spreading the word about who we are, sharing our social media posts, hopefully sharing this podcast, letting people know about us, yes, and just, you know, sharing God's love that way too.
This is incredible. And I heard that you have been choreographing something. Will you share about that?
Yeah, I'm super excited. And I thank God for that beautiful opportunity. So we have Green Rose Productions, who the founder of Green Rose Productions is it's a nonprofit, is Rosalinda Alexander. And her main focus with her nonprofit is theater for special needs adults and kids.
Wow.
And it's been beautiful working with these special needs people. But they're putting on a show. It's called The Revenge of the Sea Witch. And it's about teaching this sea witch that we have to honor and value what God gave us in the earth. And that we have to treat our earth beautiful, right? Because God gave that gift to us. And so she created this fantasy musical. It's based of fantasy characters in the ocean. It's really fun. But I and also Mr. Emmanuel from the studio, we had the honor and privilege to be the main choreographers for this musical. And so we actually are getting ready to do our opening show this Thursday. I'm super excited about. And we go on tour the whole month of April. We'll be in Visalia, we'll be in Lemoore, and we'll be in Lindsay. And we will get to be performing with the cast. And there's like a sea witch, there's a squid, there's a beaver, a baby, a beaver mom. I'm a mermaid from Atlantis. Rosalinda is the owner of the Magic Tree House, is where it starts. Mm-hmm. And all played by special needs adults and children, the main cast portion. All the extra ensembles, it's just regular volunteers. And so we'll be touring with them and performing. It just made me feel so happy and joyful. Their eyes lit up and they're like, oh my gosh, we get to perform with you guys at Patty's studio at the Hanford Fox. This is awesome. I love the Fox Theater. They were so, so excited. And they're like, and we get to be guest performers. Yes, you do. Wow. And it was just something so beautiful because, like I said, I'm all about empowering others, helping others, sharing God's love. And when you see that right there in your presence, in your, like, you get to experience the joy that dance does to others, mm-hmm. It's probably the biggest reward of why I do what I do. And that's why I keep pushing. You know, dance is just, it's so beautiful. And when it's infused with Jesus, it's even more empowering. And I don't know, it always, like you say, gives you goosebumps, mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit talk, you know. Well, those moments are the moments that give me tears of joy, because I say thank you, Jesus, you know, for me continuing and pushing no matter the trial or tribulation. That right there is the outcome. That is why I do what I do, because yes, it's moments like this when children or special needs adults that we work with feel so joyful. Yes. And they share that to you. And it's like, that's why I do what I do.
That is powerful. I just see you as, you're not a type of person that acts like people aren't wearing a crown. Mm. You're the one adjusting the crown on their heads and making them see that they are wearing a crown. And you help
thank
them.
You.
Hold their chin up high and really shine. You've given them so many opportunities that it's going to really stick with them forever. And I think that that will help increase awareness and mm-hmm. education mm-hmm. to the world that we're living in,
yes,
about being educated on different things like special needs mm-hmm. and how we can be inclusive.
Yes.
And give these children an opportunity to really work towards boosting all of the things that come with that, their confidence, because when we don't expect much from a child or a person, then they don't always show up. But when we expect really beautiful things from them, mm-hmm. then they rise yes. to that.
Yes.
So giving them that.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And I love how you said the word rise, because the rise of the phoenix, that's what it's about. You know, if you don't mind, I could share a
yes,
little bit about that. I get really excited when I get the opportunity to share about what we're doing, because it's just, I'm really passionate about, you know, the works that we're doing, but I always give honor and glory to God, because it's through the visions He gives me. It's through the desire to keep fulfilling the ministry and the calling, you know, that I'm able to do what I do. But this show, it's called The Rise of the Phoenix Through Signs and Wonders. And what it's about is we actually start in a enchanted magical forest. I wanted to go a little bit more on the magical side, because I felt like it's fantasy, it's fun. The kids that are in the story will enjoy playing these characters. And so we start in this magical enchanted forest with divinity. And I chose the name divinity because divine, right? Jesus, God is divine. And so I wanted to give a divine name. And I was like, ooh, divinity, that's a girl character. So I gave her the name of divinity. And she is walking through the forest and she's saying hi to all her magical friends. They're all forest animals. And all of a sudden, she invites them to just play in her treehouse. She lives in this treehouse, right? And as we continue the story, she is writing in her diary saying, like, God, I want a change in my life. I want to change. I'm done with the failures of life. I'm done. I want to be successful. I want to have a change in life. I want to rise like the phoenix. Then we hear this voice, which the voice of God is how I wanted that character to be, right? And God is basically telling divinity, get ready for the journey of a lifetime. You're going to undergo a journey that will, after you undergo this journey, you're going to be transformed. But here's the key. You must believe in the signs and wonders. And that is stated in the Bible, right? In Mark, it's talking about how we have to truly believe in the signs and wonders of Jesus. And so God is telling divinity, the only way to be transformed is when you start to believe. When you believe in the different things that I put for you, and you see them as a sign of transformation, as a sign to change your life, it's only then when you can rise above. And so she's like, oh my gosh. And then the voice disappears. And then there's this like magic portal that opens up in the treehouse, and divinity and her friends kind of like, we're trying to make the vision of, they get pulled into this magic portal. And now they're going through all these different like places of the magic portal, but they're all going to symbolize the 7 days of creation of God. And so we see the different creations, because through experiencing the creation, we're able to realize, wow, like God created me unique. Mm-hmm. And God created me in such a unique and powerful way that I have the ability to be the beautiful, unique person I am and live a godly life and change my life around if I just believe, right? And so then the forest goes up into fire, because we have to incorporate the rise of the phoenix. And the phoenix, the only way the phoenix transforms is by going to the depths of the burning hell, right? And so divinity's scared. She's, what am I going to do? And she hears the voice of God. Well, didn't I tell you to believe? Believe. I am the fire. The Holy Spirit, right? I am the fire, so I can consume this fire and turn it into transformation. Mm-hmm. I can turn it into something pure. Mm-hmm. And so she says, okay, and her forest animals follow along, and we do this piece. And that's when she realizes, I have to believe, no matter what you go through in life, you must believe that you will rise above and that you can make a transformation in your life, mm-hmm. but you gotta believe in the signs and wonders that Jesus gives us. Wow. And so then she rises above like the phoenix, and we see the phoenix character in the show, but it's really a representation of what I was sharing earlier, right? Is in any trial or tribulation, any death, any grieving process, anything we're going through, in her case, she's writing in her diary saying, I'm tired of the failures. I want to transform. Well, when you really believe in the promise of God and you really believe that what he's putting there, the signs and the wonders he's putting for each and every one of us, we're going to rise. We're going to rise like the phoenix. And we will be transformed, and we will have a transformation of life. And if it's all, if you believe, you gotta believe in what God has put for you.
Whoa, I love the parallels and the creativity that you've done. You're bringing biblical truths to life for these kids and audience members to see. I'm thinking about the creation story, how the first few days it was forming all of it, and then the next few days it was filling it, and then the seventh day of rest, and just the beauty of creation and how children need to learn about the beauty of creation. And so this is so exciting, and I'm so happy for you that you've been given such beautiful discernment, and that you really did listen all those years ago about how God was calling you to put dance and your love for him together and share that with the world. I remember being at Pete and Carmen's Salsa Dance Academy, mm-hmm. and I saw you dancing, mm-hmm. and I hadn't met you before. I didn't know you then, and I went up to you and I said, how long have you been dancing? Like, I was like, oh, this is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. My friends told me, oh, that's Patty, you were doing bachata. And I was wowed, and I know God's heart is wowed when he sees you not only dancing, but how you're dancing with him, and you're giving so many spaces for people to dance. You're reaching the underserved populations. You're reaching children with special needs. You're reaching adults who may have been told, like you, oh, no, it's too late to dance. And you're debunking that myth. You're saying no to that lie.
Yep.
And you're teaching people to have this eternal perspective while growing their skills. And I think God, I know, he's just so delighting over you. And I get teary-eyed thinking about this. It's rare to meet somebody who has so much talent, so much love for life, and a love for God, and see them dedicate their entire life to echoing the beauty of that. And so thank you for being obedient to God with your talents and skills, and continually placing everything upon him and trusting that he's going to come through for you with all the highs and lows of being an entrepreneur and a businesswoman. Would you share a little bit about what it's like to start a nonprofit for anyone who may be interested? You formed yours in California, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I will say it's hard. I want to first give credit to my mom and my family, because they are the backbone to all the things I do. They helped me through that process. But we did it without a lawyer. We did it all on our own. My mom did tons and tons of research on all the legality aspects of it. So there is a lot of work, right? But with anything that is a lot of hard work, I think that it's the most fruitful things to come, right? I always say easy comes, easy goes, right? But hard work and hard dedication, you know that you're going to have something built for lots of years and hopefully forever, right? As long as God wants. But I do recommend that you determine which forms you want to use. There's a short form and a long form in creating a nonprofit, and that depends on the amount of money that you anticipate your organization to receive in the future. So those are things to know ahead of time. Also, having a good business module is vital. Knowing your mission, your vision, who your board of directors are going to be ahead of time, having all that set in stone, because it makes the process of application so much easier. Mm-hmm. So that is extremely important. But then also, what really helped me, especially getting our first grant, was having a rapport established. If you don't have a rapport established ahead of time, it makes things a little bit harder. It's not that it can't happen, it can. So I don't want to discourage that either, but I do highly encourage that folks that are interested in doing a nonprofit, that they already put in some volunteer work ahead of time. And so the rapport that I built with Patty's Studio and the volunteer work I did from the age of 14 up until like now, because I still volunteer, it really helped set a rapport for the nonprofit. So people already knew who Patty was. And since Patty is the founder of the PS Traveling Dance Company, that helped me achieve getting my determination letter faster. Mm-hmm. So that's really important, having some prior volunteer established and rapport, having a mission that really is about wanting to help and make a difference in the world. Mm-hmm. And then just go for it. I always say, if it's in your heart and you really feel in your heart that you want to help others and you want to make a difference in the world, I think a nonprofit is the best way to go.
Thank you for sharing that. This is great insight. And what type of business did you form for Patty's Studio?
So the business for Patty's Studio started as a sole proprietor, and it went to an S-Corp. So we are now an S-Corp.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any advice for somebody going into business entrepreneurship and wanting to do, would you call it a brick and mortar, since there is a building, it's not a virtual business? Mm-hmm. Any advice for somebody who might want to do an S-Corp or open an S-Corp?
Yes.
Is it an S-Corp?
An S-Corp,
right.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And just for any type of business, right? I think that the type of business matters. It does. But I think just in general, any type of business, no matter what entity type you are, those are all like for tax purposes, I guess, is have a legit like business module established. What is going to be your budget? What is going to be your projections? What's your marketing plan? That is something I've learned really hard over the years. And I'm learning now that having a very strong, strong marketing strategy is probably your golden key to business. Mm-hmm. Knowing how to market your business is vital. Making sure that you have like a strong group of team members that have all types of qualities and elements needed in a business. So like assigning the roles and duties of your people, your team, right, to the right qualities and the right personalities. Like, you're not going to assign a management role to someone who can't even speak in public, right? Mm-hmm. So that kind of thing is really establishing your and solidifying your roles and duties, and then your marketing strategy. And if you have those two things like on point, success.
Yes. Do you have a mentor or somebody that you collaborate with for these marketing strategies or business things?
I don't have an established mentor, I will say. I've had some mentors over the years of business life. But for me, a lot of it, like I went to school, And then I didn't finish schooling, actually, because I got pregnant, had a baby. He's 11 years old now.
Congratulations.
Yes. 11 years, yes. Strong of a mama and a single mom as well. So my schooling route went different. Mm-hmm. I didn't get to finish it, but the little that I did learn of business studies as I was going to school, and then the continuation and the desire to keep a business alive, like it made me prone to self-educate myself.
Yes.
You know, so a lot of I think another advice for any entrepreneur is never stop learning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's always room for growth and learning. Always be eager and hungry to learn. Go to seminars, go to conferences, Google things, you know, take courses on YouTube. But because of all that, like, desire to self-develop myself and my business is what has kept me, like, going. But I also want to give, like I said, massive kudos, first and foremost, to God, because I always try to pray about everything and make sure that I put it in prayer. Big decisions, big business decisions, I always bring it to God first. So if anything, God's my mentor.
Yes.
And secondly, it's my mom and my dad and my family. Like I said, they are the backbone to a lot of the things that I do. I always come to conversation with my family and ask them to, like, give me good influence and advice.
That is solid advice. So good. You are going to the one who created the world and created you. And so what better person to ask than God for direction? And he does download these things to you in mm-hmm. your mind. You've strengthened your mind so much by being open to him. What would you say your advice is to someone who maybe they don't know if they've heard God's voice before, maybe they don't know Jesus, but they might be interested? How could they open up and just see, check him out?
Yeah. So my advice to someone who maybe hasn't heard or is slowly having that, like, desire to learn is, it's that right there, right? If you feel this, like curiosity to learn about Jesus, or to want to, like, maybe it doesn't even start with Jesus. Maybe it starts with, like, I just want to share love and peace and joy to the world, you know? And I think that's a great start, because that right there is a sign that you want God in your heart. You just haven't officially, like, figured it out, because God is love, mm-hmm. right? And so if God is love and you already want to love more, then that's already a seed of its own saying, I want God. I just haven't figured that out, you know?
Yes.
And so allowing your curiosity to just flow, and don't be afraid to, you know, I'm just gonna take a look at the Bible. I'm just gonna open it up and see what God has in store for me. Or for me, it started with my mom telling me, start by reading Proverbs or Psalms. Those are very, like, soft and wisdom types of books in the Bible that will slowly develop your love more and more for Jesus, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So starting there, or also starting by just doing community service. When we start to serve others, we start to gain a different type of view in the world. When you serve others is actually when you start to really do the works of God, in my opinion, and really get closer to what does it mean to serve God,
mm-hmm.
you know? And it's through community involvement and fellowship that we start to learn different perspectives,
mm-hmm.
and our love can slowly grow, or our knowledge, because maybe you don't know nothing about God, but you'll be infused with that knowledge because of others that share God's love through communication, through conversation, through fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
People slowly start to get intrigued.
This is gold. Thank you for sharing that. And Patty, how do you see God's heart and dance combined, or even the gospel through dance?
For me, it's how we do things at the studio. because like I don't see that like normally like at church or anything like that. You know, in church it's like we will read the gospel, we'll read from scripture, we'll do Bible studies, and you know, that's how I grow my faith. We go to weekly Bible studies, and but dance isn't like a topic or anything like that. So for me, it comes just from what we're doing at the studio. And it's, as a director, I think it's more strongly demonstrated in our shows. Mm-hmm. Because I do take the time to pray about it. I do take the time to ask God to give me clarity and discernment on, is this the show you want me to produce this mm-hmm. year? You know, is this what you want me to put out there? For me, it's reading the scripture and then figuring out how could I use the scripture in my lines, my storytelling, the actual script I write for the characters to have a speaking role. So dance and Jesus's heart, for me, it gets combined when we see it come to life in the productions, when we get to see it come to life in a whole message that the audience gets to take that away. The audience gets to see that. And my goal is always like, I hope that our storyline and I hope our production will touch others so immensely that right there is where that curiosity of maybe non-believers are like, wow, like I didn't realize like what that did, you know, at this moment for me. I've had people tell me, I was crying, and I was like, it wasn't me. It was for sure God and the Holy Spirit, you know, all honor to God, because the visions came to me from God. Mm-hmm. So what's out on that show, on that theater, in that production, is because God wanted those audience members to feel that, see that, and live that, you know?
Yes.
And so it's there that I feel we get to plant those little seeds of curiosity to bring others slowly closer to Jesus.
That is powerful, magnificent. I am just thinking about heaven and how I think there will be dancing there too. And I can spend a lot of time learning choreo from you there. I know I'm right now a few hours away from you, but I'm so excited to get to visit your studio in person tonight.
Yes.
For all the things that you have. What would you say is the best way for people to connect with you, our listeners, if they have questions or anything?
Yeah, so the best way to connect, you can connect with us on social media. We have a Facebook, we have an Instagram. Instagram, it's Patty's Dance Studio 09, and then our Facebook is just Patty's Dance Studio. And then our website, pattystudio.com. Visit us. Come and try a class with us. Experience the joy that dance really does bring. Because, I mean, I don't know if you could tell, but just dance makes me so happy. And to share that with others is probably the best way you could connect with us, you know, is just come try a class with us. Come experience what it is to be in a Christ-centered, welcoming family environment. We say that we have like this strong dance community. We all feel like a family. So come just try a class with us. That's the best way to connect, and you'll see it for yourself.
Yes, I'm so excited. What is one way we can echo eternity or encourage others?
Well, the most general answer for me, it's how can we echo eternity and encourage others? Just share the love of Jesus as much as you possibly can, you know, in whatever that looks like for you. For me, it's dance, right? For Hannah, it's this ministry. For maybe a five-year-old, it's let me draw a picture, give you a piece of candy because I'm sharing, right? For another adult, maybe it's walking down the street and blessing someone. God bless you. Have a blessed day. For people in like an office setting, it's even as simple as like sharing a smile, right? Mm-hmm. There's so many little day-to-day things that we think that they're not like that meaningful, but actually it's the little things that's in the details, right? That really can shape and change lives. It's how genuine are you with the love of Jesus to others? Mm-hmm. And through that genuine love of sharing Jesus's love, you can echo eternity. People will want to be driven to be closer to God. And the more we are closer to God, the closer we are to eternal life, right? And then if we continue to share Jesus's love, then the encouragement that we get within fellowship, within community, it just gets stronger. We have to encourage others daily, because we are meant to live life to serve God and to honor God, right? And the only way to do that is the question I always pose to like my family and friends is like, what would Jesus do?
Yeah. This is so lovely, beautiful. My heart's delighted. You've filled my cup hearing mm-hmm. you today and hearing a lot of your testimony. I'm sure that you have so many more stories that you have in you. Thank you for taking the time to come and share and for all of your ministry. I am so excited for everyone that's going to listen to this or watch this on YouTube. And I can't wait to see the continued fruits of everything that you're doing.
Thank you
for coming.
No, well, thank you, Hannah, for giving me this opportunity. I'm just blessed to share, you know, what Jesus has is in my heart all the time. And so it's a blessing. It's a blessing to share this with others. And so I feel honored and privileged to be on your podcast.
Oh, thank you. I feel honored to have you. Thank you, everyone, for listening. See you next time.